Chapter 22. Donald Jr. woke the next morning and dressed sharply in an expensive tailored suit and tie, not formal wear, but designed to present himself as all business. He was ready to make chaos and thought it might even be fun. Taking a taxi directly to the Prime Minister's office, he walked in and demanded to see the Prime Minister. As the President's son and a representative of the United States, he declared his work was important and urgent. The receptionist had been warned of his arrival and given explicit instructions on how to handle him. She excused herself, saying she needed to check whether the Prime Minister could see him, then went to another room and called the American Embassy to inform them that Donald Jr. was there. Embassy security personnel were dispatched immediately to retrieve him. She also called a local television station as instructed, alerting them about the situation and advising them to film the encounter discreetly. Returning to the reception area, she informed Junior that the Prime Minister was very busy but would try to meet with him as soon as possible. Junior took the message calmly, showing no signs of concern. Moments later, a man entered the room. The receptionist recognized him as a reporter from the local news station. He, too, requested to see the Prime Minister. At this point, Junior lost his temper. He jumped out of his seat and screamed, "You go tell him I'm Donald Trump Jr., the President of the United States' son. My time is more valuable than his. Get me in to see him now. I have things he needs to know."
"I'm sorry, sir," the receptionist replied calmly, "but you cannot see him until he is available."
"You apparently weren't listening when I told you who I am. Get me back there now."
The newsman, secretly filming, moved to another part of the room to capture Junior's anger and every nuance of his expression.
"Sir," the receptionist repeated, "I cannot. He will see you when he is free."
"This delay will cost India dearly," Junior bellowed. "If he keeps me waiting another 10 minutes, I'll impose 15% tariffs on Indian products instead of the 10% I was considering. Now get me in there."
Suddenly, the front door burst open and 4 United States Marines from the American Embassy entered. The senior Marine, a captain, addressed Junior firmly. "Mr. Trump, you are to come with us now."
"Fuck you! I'm not going anywhere with you," Junior snapped. "I'm going to see the Prime Minister and tell him exactly what we're going to do unless he returns our property. Now get out of my way."
At that moment, Indian security personnel entered the room. One of them turned to Junior and said,
"Mr. Trump, you will not be seeing the Prime Minister. We have been instructed to place you under arrest unless you leave with the embassy personnel immediately."
"You can't arrest me! You can't do shit to me!" Junior shouted.
"Mr. Trump," the Marine captain interjected, his voice steady, "we were told to inform you that your diplomatic credentials have been revoked. They can and will arrest you unless you come with us."
"Who the fuck thinks they have the authority to revoke my diplomatic credentials?" Junior barked. "My father gave them to me as President of the United States, and he is the only one who can revoke them."
"Mr. Trump," the captain said, maintaining his composure, "it was he who ordered the ambassador to revoke your status. I strongly suggest that you come with us."
"Listen, Mr. Prime Minister, I know you can hear me. If you do not return our property by the time I get home, I will see that tariffs are imposed on all Indian merchandise coming to the United States. And I also will see that our military, who is helping you hold Pakistan and China at bay, will be removed. You will be risking invasion into your country if you continue this reckless act of stealing."
The Marine captain took him by the arm and led him to a vehicle waiting outside. Still cursing, he entered the car. The reporter was filming the entire time. Within 30 minutes, the entire episode was playing on every news channel in the world. Donald Jr. was placed on the next plane back to New York. He was still unaware of the news conference the 5 governments had held earlier, later adding 2 more countries. He was still fuming when they escorted him on the plane. Donald Trump was furious. His son came across as a fucking idiot. He was an idiot who thought he had the power of the presidency and could order other heads of state around. This was bad. Really bad. Ivanka was on her way to Moscow. He called Eric to get his input.
"Eric, what the fuck happened? Have you seen the Junior videos?"
"Yes, I think everybody in the world has now seen them.
Ivanka and I tried to call and warn you, but your doctor had put you to sleep. Junior would not talk to us. He hid from the embassy people, changed the hotel he was staying in, and tried to force the Prime Minister to meet with him. We were hoping maybe you could reach him, but it was not to be.
Ivanka arrived in Moscow and was picked up by the American embassy security and taken directly to her hotel. They obliged her request to be left alone. She contacted the bank the moment she was alone.
When can we meet?
Tomorrow morning at 10. We will pick you up. Where are you staying?
The Hilton. I will be ready.
The next morning, she was picked up by a limousine, taken to the bank at Kriti, and escorted to a large conference room. There she was confronted by four older men, each with a folder of financial data in front of them.
"Welcome, Miss Ivanka. We are glad you are here," said the senior bank official.
"Thank you. It's important that we address this potential issue before it escalates into a bigger problem," Ivanka began. "As you know, the liens on several of our properties that you hold have been confiscated. Your liens will be paid by the respective nations where the properties are located. However, our concern is that these nations may undervalue the properties, resulting in payments that fall short of the lien amounts. If that happens, we will be powerless to protect you. Your liens will be extinguished for whatever amount they decide to pay. My purpose here is to find a solution to ensure that you incur no loss."
"And what is your proposed method to protect us?" the senior official asked.
"Our company owns numerous properties. We propose transferring your lien interests from the confiscated properties to other properties we own in amounts sufficient to cover any potential shortfalls,"
Ivanka replied. The senior bank official frowned.
"Miss Ivanka, we have significant concerns about such an arrangement. These ongoing issues you are facing have greatly diminished the value of your properties. As you know, we already hold liens on some of them. This proposal would only serve to increase the risk we are currently exposed to."
"Obviously, we would provide up-to-date appraisals of any such property," Ivanka countered. "Additionally, we are taking aggressive measures to stop these attacks, and they will be stopped very soon."
The senior official raised an eyebrow. "You may not be aware, but two of your properties in New York City were attacked again last night. Sewage overflows on those properties are all over the news."
Ivanka's face went pale.
"I wasn't aware. I'm certain the situation is being handled quickly."
For the next hour, the group reviewed lien amounts and discussed various scenarios.
"We must be paid for any shortfalls, and payment must be made promptly," the senior official emphasized. "It appears you may have a few weeks to raise the necessary funds. Based on our estimates, the shortfall could be as high as $500 million.
Ivanka gasped.
"I was expecting it to be several million, not several hundred million."
The official leaned forward. "There are several options you may consider. One is the removal of certain sanctions your government currently has in place. Should those be lifted, we would be willing to increase the value of the existing liens. Second, regarding the property Mar-a-Lago, we would be interested in purchasing the controlling interest in that property to cover any shortfall."
"These are things only my father can answer," Ivanka said. "Let me take them to him, and we will get back to you."
Ivanka was taken back to her hotel, where she immediately called her father.
"It is not good news. It's best we talk in person, not over the phone. I'll fly directly to Washington and let you know my travel plans."
Next, she called Eric.
"Have we been hit again?"
"Yes," Eric replied. "The property in White Plains and the one on 6th Avenue. Another big damn mess."
Ivanka found a flight leaving in 7 hours. She booked it and informed her father. She arrived in Washington at 9 a.m. the next morning and took a taxi straight to the White House. Once inside, she was escorted to the private quarters of the family residence, where the president met her.
"Okay," Trump said. "Tell me what they said."
"They might as well ask for a couple of pints of your blood," Ivanka replied. "They'll do what we asked, transfer the liens to other properties. But only if you remove the sanctions the U.S. has placed on Russia. Alternatively, they want controlling interest in Mar-a-Lago."
"No way can I or will I do either of those," Trump snapped. "I expected them to go for the jugular, but not this badly. Here's what I want you to do. Contact some of the major hotel groups and sell the properties in D.C., New York, and possibly Chicago. That should raise enough cash to cover the shortfalls."
"I'll get on it,"
Ivanka said as Trump walked away. Exhausted, she collapsed onto one of the beds. Meanwhile, Donald Jr. had not resurfaced. He'd heard on the news about more attacks on their properties, but still had no idea about the earlier news conference or that he had been filmed making threats. Back in his office, President Trump called the FBI director.
I want you to bring your chief and your most experienced investigator to meet me here as soon as possible.
He gave no further explanation. The FBI suspected the meeting might be about the sabotage of Trump properties, a matter they could not officially get involved in, but they had no choice but to attend. 45 minutes later, FBI Director Wray arrived with Jonathan Haver, the chief of the investigation unit. Trump had never met Haver and was introduced.
Inspector Haver, Trump began, as you probably know, I have a problem that the FBI has said it cannot handle. What I need is advice on how to proceed. We're getting no help from local authorities, so it seems I'll have to hire private investigators to find whoever is behind this. First, do you know anyone you can recommend?
Haver nodded.
I can send you a list of experienced investigators with the talent and manpower to assist you.
Second, this has been happening all over the world. Where do you think we should start?
That's easy, Haver replied. Start by identifying people who traveled to the affected areas near the time of each attack. Also check rental cars, trucks, and equipment that may have been used. Whatever tools or items were used will likely have been consistent across locations. It's a lot of work, but it's the best place to start.
Trump turned to the FBI director.
Chris, will you allow the FBI to provide us with the manifests from those times and places where we've been hit?
Yes, I will, said FBI Director Wray. This is slowly escalating to a level where you may be at risk. We'll provide you with whatever data assistance we can. Trump thanked them, and then immediately called Donald Jr.
It's time to get your head out of the hole and start solving this problem. I just met with the FBI. They'll provide us with whatever data they can. I want you to find and hire a private agency to track these people down and stop them. Inspector Haver is sending us a list of agencies he thinks are qualified.
Yes, sir, I'll get on that right now,
Donald Jr. replied, then added defensively,
And I could have made that Indian asshole back down if you had left me alone.
Right,
Trump shot back.
And I suppose you think you could do the same with the Philippines, Indonesia, and the other 4 countries doing the same thing? You need to accept reality. They've got us by the balls, and you only made them squeeze harder.
Meanwhile, the news media began broadcasting footage from all over the world. In countries like Iran, Syria, Kurdish territories, Mexico, Uruguay, Guatemala, Iraq, and Cuba, people were celebrating the troubles of Donald Trump and the Trump Organization. Televisions around the globe aired clips of the Indian press conference, as well as footage of Donald Jr.'s outburst. Crowds cheered in many countries. Outside Donald Jr.'s apartment, reporters gathered, hoping to get a statement. Peeking out the window, he refused to go outside. He had now watched the Indian news conference and seen himself on television.
Who the fuck filmed that? He thought angrily. I didn't see any cameras.
Embarrassment and frustration began to set in. He now felt like a fool. Eric, on the other hand, had been busy managing the latest sewage incident. By now he had the cleanup process down to a science. He arranged for the lines to be pumped into a truck-mounted tank and sent in a crew to clean the affected areas. Within 3 hours, everything was clean and functioning again. He also turned his attention to coordinating appraisers in all the cities where their properties had been confiscated. Eric filmed the cleanup effort and its speed to demonstrate to the appraisers that while the attacks were disruptive, the damage was manageable and the buildings could quickly be restored to livable conditions. What he didn't yet realize, however, was that every time a cleanup was completed, the attackers were spraying a substance inside the property that reignited the stench shortly after. Ivanka, having slept for only 3 hours, began making calls to all the top hotel chains. The response was immediate. There was widespread interest. She scheduled meetings over the next several days to discuss potential sales. Simultaneously, she contacted appraisal firms in the cities where the family might sell properties. She knew they needed appraisal numbers that could stand up to scrutiny, but she also wanted valuations on the higher end of the spectrum.